What up, everybody? Welcome back on board the bus for another episode of Think Like a Czar. I'm losing my voice a little bit. I've been speaking the last 5 days in a bunch of different schools, so thanks for bearing with me. But I am so excited today because we're getting to hang out with one of my favorite people in the whole world, Darren Kevinoki. Now, Darren is incredible. He's got his own law firm. He has two TV shows on Discovery ID Channel, and he is just an amazing, amazing person. And he actually just got done running from the West Coast to the East Coast. So we're gonna get to learn all about his story, and he's just a really smart dude that I look up to. So I'm excited for you guys to check him out today. We're back on the bus. It's a little bit hot today, and we brought some sweat towels. You are truly the real MVP for being here today. A true brother, a true friend, the man, the myth, the legend, Darren Kevinoki. How you doing?
Jesse, it's great to be here, man. It's awesome to see you. And I mean, legitimately, I'm so happy to be here and just get to hang with you. It's been way too long.
We've had some times, haven't we?
Yeah,
we were just saying the last time we did yoga. We did yoga, actually.
Oh,
now I think about
it. Speaking of hot yoga together. Yeah, now we're getting some hot
now
yoga.
It's all making sense. I'm already going for water.
Downward dog, baby.
Downward dog. And then, but we had a good bowl of chili.
Just before that, the time we saw each other before that was in New York City.
Times Square,
and so it's been too long between visits.
We gotta work on that.
Yeah, but ironically, it was right around the time that this idea for this cross-country adventure hatched and got traction, really. Actually, it was hatched long ago. I mean, it starts
in my childhood. Oh, you've been thinking about it for a while.
Well, no, it started...
I don't know the backstory. Break it down for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was a kid who... Listen, the reasons don't matter. Moved around a lot. I was a heavy, heavy kid. You know, way too much fat on my body for my height.
Yeah.
And always felt like I was on the outside looking in. For whatever reason.
Okay.
Just never felt like I got along with my fellows.
Okay. Outcast, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And it's funny looking back on it and going back to reunions and talking to people. No one else perceived me that way. I had my own...
In your head.
Exactly. Just my own skewed perception of myself.
Yeah.
And it's really tragic, I think, that we, as human beings, we form these self-perceptions in childhood, and we often carry those skewed views all the way through adulthood, making decisions on those kinds of our childish thinking as grown-ups.
Yeah.
And like, so for
your self-story.
But it no longer applies.
Yes,
so
yes.
For me, I was a heavy kid. And even now, when I'll go in to get my suits tailored, I'll say to the guy, yeah, he'll want to take it in the waist. I'll say, no, leave me a little room for dessert.
Which
is my own body dysmorphia, weird, self-view.
Yes.
So anyway, we all have that. I'm breaking out the sweat.
It's going to be... Thanks for watching us sweat today. Yeah, thanks for sweat. No drugs here. It's just we're actually going to be healthy. Our skin's going to be glowing.
Attitude is everything. More flexible. So that's where this thing really got birthed, is as a heavy set kid at the age of 11. I was shuffling around the apartment complex that I lived in.
Did you say shuffling because you were a heavy set kid?
It was my version of jogging.
Okay.
And this is when Nike had released their iconic waffle shoe. And I remember daydreaming about, oh my God, someday I'm going to go on this fantastic adventure. I'm going to run across the country and Nike's going to sponsor it. It was just fanciful daydreaming.
I didn't know this. Okay.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I don't remember this. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's
amazing.
And then, you know, life took me in some very different directions.
Yes.
And through a series of crazy coincidences, a mutual friend of ours was working with a company doing a campaign where they wanted to do something for the new face of 50.
Okay.
And here I was just about to turn 50. And he said to them, well, I know this guy who's crazy and might be just perfect for your campaign.
Because
I was
100%.
Hosting Deadly Sins and, you know, part of my backstory involves... reimagining myself in several different careers and throughout my life. And so he brought me to them, and they originally wanted to do a photo shoot pairing me with some other 50.
Okay.
And I said, hey, how about the new face of 50 runs across all 50 states? And
oh, so they pitched that.
Well, I pitched it to
them. Oh, you
pitched
them because I thought it was your idea. Okay. That's
and then they said, that sounds great.
Pure insane.
It was like, oh no, now we really have to do this.
Yeah,
and that's how it all got launched.
No, I remember when you told me, and you were trying to convince me to do it.
To come along.
And I was like, for about 5 seconds, I was like, that sounds amazing. And then I thought about what it really would entail. And I think you told me, I'm like, how long is it going to take? And didn't you say like 4 or 5 months every day, 10 or 12? So, what was it? It was some ridiculous number. Like, I've never run that far in one day in my life. And I'm going to do that every day consecutively for 4 months.
It was an ambitious undertaking, to be sure. Even the training for it was insane because we were working with some world-class trainers who knew about ultra-endurance athletes. And I need to say for the record here, I'm not a guy who's like some naturally gifted runner. I'm not a guy who's like some world-class athlete.
But you are crazy in your training. And I know this because I've done some workouts with you, and you've invited me to other workouts on the same day, and I'm like, a second workout? Like, yeah. But no, I'm good. Well, but you have an insane work ethic.
But my motto is anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
Yeah,
and
of course, that's been
my touchstone for life.
Yeah, yeah. So, not sure if that's good or not, but I like it. I like that you embrace it.
So embraced it for this trip, and that was the genesis for it. And mm-hmm. that's how we got this thing going. The training was insane. We were logging, towards the end of it, we were doing 30, 40, 50 mile training days. And the plan was that we were going to run 50 miles a day, 3 days on, 1 day off, 3 days on, 1 day off. And then to complicate matters even further.
Time out, you said 50 miles a day?
Yes.
See, I thought it was 12 when I just said it right now.
No.
50 miles a day.
Yeah, you can't make it there.
How much is a marathon?
$26.2
So you're running basically two marathons
a day.
A day, 3 days in a row, and then you get 1 day off.
And then you get a day off.
I'm so glad I didn't go. I'd be dead. I would literally be dead.
Well, check this out. So
you make me so mad sometimes, Darren.
Well, hang on. So you're gonna get in touch with my own mortality.
Okay.
Here. So on the last day of my training, I was doing a 50-mile training run. And at about mile 30, I felt something weird in my shin. And
on the last day of training? Right before you're about to go.
10 days before we were getting ready to go.
Jeez.
And
don't mind me.
And Or me either.
Yeah, don't mind me.
And
I feel like I'm getting exercise just hearing you talk about this. I'm sweating. That must be it.
So had that weird twinge, called the doctor, and they're like, hey, just rest it. And like, well, you know what we're about to do, right? And said, yeah, but you just have to rest it.
Yeah.
So we ended up launching, and we had prearranged everything. We launched from the Dr. Phil show.
Okay.
And then went down to the Santa Monica Pier.
You took off from Dr. Phil?
Yep.
Okay.
And then went down to the Santa Monica Pier so we could touch the ocean, grab some seawater.
So you went backwards, or is he right at there?
Yeah, backwards to go forward.
Oh, jeez.
And then, but on the first day, as I'm going out at about mile 30, had that pain again. And it was even more severe, and here I am. I'm with my training partner, who's half my age.
Yes.
And
what's his name again? I met him.
Kyle.
Kyle is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very even keeled. Just
unflappable.
Yeah. I feel like this is him at his most excited, and this is him at the worst, most depressed he's ever been. Just like,
Let me tell you, when you're going, when you're up for an adventure like this, that's the kind of guy that you want by your side.
Yes.
So
you want him flying the plane when it's having troubles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was Kyle and I who were doing the run together, and then we had an RV very similar to this environment.
We got to talk RV talk soon.
We'll
do that later.
Exactly. And there were two guys on the RV. One guy driving and preparing food, and then another guy taking pictures and social media stuff and all that.
Yep.
And we set off on that run, and then the injury kicked in.
Mile 30. You're still in Santa Monica.
No, we made it out. We're headed east. So then my leg is starting to like turn funny colors, and Sean, our crew chief, they now drag me into a specialist, and they stick me in an MRI tube. And long story short, I've got the beginning of a stress fracture, and my tendon is showing increased signal strength, medical blah blah. But they're like, if this thing goes, you're down for a year, and it's 100% guarantee you're going to surgery.
Jeez.
So you know about like the 5 stages of grieving?
I feel like.
And I really was going through all 5 stages because they're like, you can't run for at least 8 weeks.
And you're hard-headed.
Completely.
You're not going to
like, no way.
I'll just put some tape on it. I'll walk it off.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, no, you're past that point. So they had me on one of those knee scooter things, and that worked for about 20 yards. And then
the thought was you were gonna do it on one leg.
I was gonna try and do one leg, and then that didn't work. So now I'm on a bike, and Kyle is running. We get to Palm Springs, and Kyle's rolled his ankle, and he's having his own set of injuries that we're working our way through.
Jeez.
And now, so then we try the great rollerblade experiment, where I remembered, hey, as a kid, I was a good skater, so let's get on rollerblades.
Yeah.
Because Palm Springs, it's flat, and it was freshly paved.
Maybe you could just have them pull you. You could hold on the back of the RV and go on skates.
The problem with the inline skating, it wasn't the skating, it was the stopping. I don't know if you've ever been
an inline
skater. So we're booking along 20 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden there's cross traffic, and when you're trying to stop those things, not good.
Yeah.
So at least
someone's gonna die.
Half a dozen times I'd have to throw myself onto the asphalt to not go out and get hit by a car. It was nuts. So we gave that up after 2 hours.
Okay.
And then
day one.
No. Now we've made it to Palm Springs at this point.
Yeah, and, not hard at all.
And then we get on hardtail mountain bikes.
Okay, and I saw a tweet with a bike, so I was like, there must have been an injury or something.
We ended up converting it to riding and running.
Okay.
And as I said, it was heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I always talk about at my workouts, because people always want to work out with me and do these high intensity things.
Yeah.
I say, don't worry about what I'm doing. They'll say things like, oh, I need to train before I can work out with you. It's like, no, just show up and give up what it looks like.
Yeah.
Forget about what it looks like. Give up that it has to be graceful or look pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Jesse, it's so much easier to say that to other people than to eat your own cooking.
Isn't that right?
Because I had to give up what it looks like.
Yeah.
And give up that it has to
be. I'm not
going to
be able to do this thing I trained for and I told people about and I got to.
But check this out. But here was the big metaphor and my big takeaway, because life does not give a what your plans are. Is mild profanity okay?
Yeah. Okay, it's for the kids. You. So, you know, we got to toughen them up a little bit.
Life doesn't care. You know, it's like that old expression, like, we make plans and God laughs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it was just a page out of that playbook. Like, the world, the universe does not care what your intentions are. It's going to do what it's going to do. And so at that point, we're confronted with a real choice, which was, hey, do we want to pack it up and go home and relaunch in 8 weeks or some other time? Or are we going to stay true to the mission, even though the mode of transportation is going to change?
Yeah.
And we decided that we needed to do the latter. Because what we were committed to, and the whole reason we were doing this trip in the first place, was to carry an empowering message of making better wellness choices.
Yeah.
That little choices that we make on a daily basis, in the aggregate, make a huge difference in our experience of being alive.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I think I told you about one of the toughest things I'd ever done in my life besides this adventure.
Yes.
Was a Navy SEAL camp, which was sleep deprivation, beat down,
blood. I can't imagine that, yeah.
Crazy. But they put on by these former Navy SEALs, and they told me about this expression they had, that everybody has inside of them two dogs. One's named fear and the other's named courage. Which one gets stronger? The one that you feed. And we are always feeding one of those two dogs. We're just not always mindful of it. But if you think about it, we're feeding one of those two dogs all the time. From a little decision like, gee, do I want a Coca-Cola or some water with my lunch?
Yeah.
To here I am faced with this enormous crash and burn on my planned out run. Am I going to, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And so it was a really, really powerful lesson.
Yeah.
So the trip was amazing. We took the southern route across the country. We basically went from California to New Mexico, Texas. Arkansas. Then we zipped down south. We did a few hundred extra miles so we could catch the Natchez Trace, which is a famous stretch of road that goes from Tupelo, Mississippi to Nashville. And it's basically National Park Protected Roadway. So bicycles can take up the full lane.
Oh, wow.
Cars have to yield.
It's worth
bike paradise.
It's worth doing it.
Yeah. So we did that. And then we went to Nashville. We cut up to Richmond, Virginia, which was probably the biggest personal trip for me, because I went to middle school in Richmond, Virginia, and I got to go back to my old middle school with my RV.
I'll share
the photos with you.
Yeah, we got to post those up.
The principal of the school.
Yeah,
and we took the RV onto the old track where I used to run around, where I took last place
when you were a little chubby guy.
Exactly,
you were a little chubby guy.
And the 800 yard run that I was forced to do, and it was a way to get closure on some ugly childhood memories.
Yeah,
and realize that I had misperceived some things.
Yeah.
As a kid, and carried them with me into adulthood.
Yeah.
And then anyway, yeah. from Richmond up to, you know, sort of up the coast, if you will, to, we were in Maryland, and then we went up to Philly and then into New York. And it was amazing. And amazing, it's funny looking back on it now, because the most amazing times sometimes were the joyful times. Like I remember a night where we were out on mountain bikes, and it was somewhere in the desert in New Mexico. We're under a canopy of stars, under the light of the moon, on this trail where we can see only a few feet in front of us, and you can tell only when you're zigzagging or going up or down when it actually happens. It's like
you're having to pay attention. Yeah,
and sometimes we'd stop, and the silence would be deafening. And we realized, number one, if something goes bad, they'll never find our bodies.
And you're on nowhere.
And you really get that you're having an adventure.
Yeah.
That was one of the big takeaways.
Yeah.
Here's one of the life lessons that I got out of this when you're training for an event, I don't know if you're like me, but when I was training for this, let's say I was going to go run a 10-mile loop.
Mm-hmm.
I'd run my usual 10-mile loop. It was my training loop. And I knew every step of that 10-mile loop.
I know where
it goes up and where it goes down. I know where I can stop for water. I know every inch of it. When you're going out on an adventure, you have no idea what's around the corner. And it may be that you're climbing some hill that you think, oh my goodness, when it rounds that bend, it has to go down. And then you round the bend and it goes up more. And it's kind of what we were talking about before, where the road doesn't care
if you're
hungry or full, if you're tired or feeling zippy, the road is gonna do what the road's gonna do.
Yeah.
And you got one of two choices. You either lay down and cry, or you keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
And that was a huge, huge takeaway. And then some of the memories that came out of it were from the suffering.
And now those are good memories. At the time it was awful, but now it's like, man, I'm thankful for that, because that's when I did the most learning.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
And it's like that notion of everything that you want for yourself in life is outside your comfort zone.
Yes, 100%.
Because if it was inside your comfort zone, you'd already have it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to stretch a little bit to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were days of torrential downpours. There was a rainstorm we got stuck in outside of Aberdeen, Maryland, where we were rained on for 6 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so awful. You know, your skin prunes up. You just can't get dry. It was just so awful. And I look back on it, and it was an amazing day. You know, through creeks and streams. I mean, it was just an amazing adventure.
Yeah.
And that was something that was really empowering. That, you know, when you go out and have an adventure, that that it's so different than training.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to come out of that adventure a different person than the person that went in.
Yeah.
Like
you're not gonna be the same. You're not gonna be the same after.
Because you are forced to come up in real time with plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, and so on, because your very survival depends on it.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And then the last big takeaway from all of this was that we played this. It'll sound like a dark game, but since I host Deadly Sins on
that's your
Discovery,
deal.
It makes sense. But we were keeping track of roadkill.
Okay.
We were counting roadkill. And we thought that the over-under on roadkill, and by the way,
you guys had to
define the roadkill game.
Okay,
yes,
what's the official?
Insects don't count.
Okay.
Like, it had to be an animal with a face.
Yeah, it shouldn't. Yeah, insects shouldn't count.
It had to be discernible. Like, if it's old roadkill, not good. So only
it's a squirrel,
a lot,
it's a raccoon.
You had to be able to make out what
fox.
The animal
was. Did we see some foxes earlier, Adam?
Exactly. Now, the animals would change based on the territory, because in the desert, it was more jackrabbits. The humidity increased, you started to see, you know, armadillos and then turtles, and then there were deer. Anyway, it was crazy. But our over-under for the whole trip was 300.
Okay.
That was the bet.
Okay. And who thought it would be over and who thought it would be under?
Well, we came up with the over-under together, and then it was a wild card as to where the number was going to come in.
Okay.
We mutually agreed on it.
I mean, how many days was this did it end up taking?
Ended up taking 80 days, but only that long because I had to fly back to shoot Deadly Sins three times.
Oh, okay. Thank goodness you got a little rest for your body.
Very little.
Yeah, yeah.
But guess, just quick guess. What do you think?
I mean, that would be that'd be like three.
Don't go math. Just pick over.
I'm going to say, I want to say over, but I'm going to say under. I'm going to say it's under.
Okay. Well, you'd be wrong.
It's over 300?
It was over 300 by a multiple of five. Oh. It was nearly 1,600.
God, I got to follow my gut.
And here was the thing where I remember days where we'd be seeing like, we couldn't go 10 yards without seeing another dead animal. And it was so like, there was part of it where you just go, oh my God, this is so horrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I remember, I was listening to a lot of audiobooks as yes. I was going across yes, the country because yes, yes. I was determined I wanted to be smarter.
When you got done.
When I got done, yeah, than yeah, when yeah. I went into it.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing this quote that from Helen Keller,
okay.
that life is either a magnificent adventure or it's nothing.
Hmm.
And I remember hearing that quote and then thinking to myself, I got to call my daughter when I get to the hotel
yeah.
because she needs to hear this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was always on the lookout for inspiring things I could pass on to. I've got a 15-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. as you know, and mm-hmm. and I just want her to have it easier than dad.
Yeah.
And then I got to thinking about that quote and Helen Keller and those dead animals. And I thought about the title of another book. It's a book on Buddhism
that caught
my attention. And it was called Relax, You're Going to Die.
Yeah.
Was the title of that book.
Beautiful.
And I started to knit these things together, and all of a sudden, those dead animals, it wasn't a bummer to see them, it was actually empowering. Hmm. Because here's the deal, Jesse, and I don't mean to go all dark on you, but guess what? I didn't bargain for this skin suit that I'm wearing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was a gift.
Yeah.
I just showed up,
yeah.
and I got this thing.
Yeah.
And we are all somewhere.
Started chubby, worked it in.
Made it
come
it
together
is.
Real nice.
As Wayne Dyer,
I know you gave me that book. Yes,
Wayne Dyer would always say, you went to a party with your dad and you came home with your mom.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you went from nowhere to now here.
Yes.
But we are all somewhere on the return trip.
Yeah.
We just don't know where, and that's the magic of it.
Yeah.
And I got to share that with my daughter in the sense that we are all jackrabbits.
Hmm.
And that's where it went from being depressing to being liberating.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that I am no different than that jackrabbit, you know, that jackrabbit one minute was just going on its merry jackrabbit way,
mm-hmm.
crossing the road, mm-hmm. and the next minute, you know, the semi, and then that jackrabbit is, you know, no more.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're all like those jackrabbits.
Yeah.
We're all somewhere on our return trip, and we have no idea where or when it's going to end.
Yeah.
And so what that did for me is it liberated my thinking, so I got to not take myself so seriously.
Hmm.
So I got to not be so caught up in what I was gonna look like or what I was gonna sound like or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I just got to be authentically real.
Yeah.
And meet amazing people along the way.
Yeah, I bet.
And really get to share that big takeaway, that is, not only are we all like jackrabbits, but none of us need to, God, and again, I don't mean to go to
no,
dark
this is
and
good.
Depressing
no, this
places.
Is good. No, we gotta go there.
There was like
that's
a
where we
study
need to go.
That was done. This is the real, where a bunch of people were asked on the street, can you name 100 influential human beings? Like, no going to your smartphone.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
name 100 influential human beings.
Yeah,
the
Albert Einstein, just down the way.
Most people could not name 100. I have a hard time naming 100.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now, I'm like,
Yeah. You can probably maybe hit 20, 30, 50, and then you're like, okay, let me go to Wikipedia or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, check this out. There's 7 billion people on the planet.
Yep.
If you have a hard time coming up with 100, and you're a guy who's in the space of inspiration, you know, looking for people who make a difference, just like I am, like, it makes you realize, well, I don't need to take myself so seriously. If there's 7 billion people on the planet and there's 100 people that I can even think of throughout all of history, I'm talking Abraham Lincoln and Julius Caesar, and like, come up with 100.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to worry so much about myself. Like, it's okay that I'm covered in sweat.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've got the sweat towel, but we're hanging out, having a real conversation that hopefully is going to make a difference.
Yeah.
So check this out. I hope there's going to be, when's this going to air?
You tell us.
Okay, no. Well,
we're holding
on to
it. It can't
air before this Saturday.
It will not air before then.
Perfect. Because
spoiler alert, you're getting the inside scoop, but you're actually not getting it.
Okay, so I'm giving you some real insight. So now here's something else.
Okay.
About something else I learned about this trip.
Yeah.
Is we called our RV the SS Serendipity because there were certain coincidences, and I don't know if you've ever heard coincidence is just God's way of remaining anonymous.
Yes,
right?
yes.
But there are so many coincidences that you stop and think, well, wait a second, there's got to be something more to this universe that I don't get to understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of our sponsors for the trip was Ford.
Yeah.
And giving away, you know, the grand prize to give away, all of our sponsors were giving away prizes. So Garmin was a sponsor, and they gave away some Garmin watches.
Okay.
Fitness Jeans has this DNA kit so they can custom tailor your nutritional needs. And
we're giving
away those. Oh, yeah. We have
great sponsors.
Okay. Rib T made all of our performance gear, amazing stuff. And they had giveaways. So giving away a car, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you know this, but I grew up mostly, besides the time I spent in Virginia, in a small town in Oregon called Ashland.
Okay.
Ashland, Oregon.
Yeah,
and population 15,000. Wow. The only reason people know about it generally is because of the Shakespearean Festival.
Okay.
It's kind of a tourist draw.
Okay.
One of the greatest Shakespearean festivals in the world. And the winner of the car went to my high school. I never knew her. She was 5 years younger than me, apparently. And she was the winner of the car.
What are the chances of that?
Wait, let me take it another level deeper, okay? So, from the, here's the karmic wheel, the universe writing itself. This woman apparently is on the heels of a bitter divorce, has a special needs child, and her ex-husband took the one car, the family car, when they went through the divorce. So this woman was balled up on the floor, crying, how am I going to take care of my son.
Yeah.
And then she knew about me through Facebook, spun the Wheel of Wins, which was the campaign, and won the car. So this weekend, I'm flying up to Ashland, Oregon to drive that car up to her with a big bow on top. I'm crying just talking about it.
Yeah.
Because she has no idea that that car is going to get delivered to her.
That she want it yet.
And now, check this out from the yet one more layer of serendipity. So now let's go back to Ashland, Oregon. I graduated high school in 1984.
Okay.
And do the math, everybody. I'm not a millennial, right?
Right?
Okay, so at my high school senior all-night party, there was a car dealership that had donated a used car as a door prize. And guess who the winner of that used car was?
Had to be you.
Had to be you.
So now you're paying it forward with a nicer car.
So now I'm the guy who gets to drive, who gets to go up there to drive this woman off the lot in her new car. Same people that donated the car for my senior all night. Like,
unbelievable.
How freaking trippy is that?
SS Serendipity.
The SS Serendipity. And so I think the takeaway, or for anybody in your audience, I think it's great. One of the things that served me is to be a yes to anything that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to be a yes to illegal conspiracy. Be a yes to things, even if you don't know where it's going to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the greatest personal wins from this whole adventure is that I get to go make this woman's, not her day, maybe make her son, maybe make
change her life
on her son's life, that he's going to be a different human being than who he was. But going across the country and getting to meet people from small towns and big cities.
Oh, yeah, like, you got something like this. People are coming up to you all the time. You know, I see kids shooting out over there now. I'm sure it's because of,
and people
you
were
know.
Awesome. Like, universally. Yeah. People were just awesome. There was one time our RV got pulled over in Baltimore by a bunch of bike cops.
Oh.
And they I wasn't in the RV at the time because I'm off on my bike.
They're like, he's smuggling drugs.
They pull them over and they're like, where's Darren? And Sean, our crew chief, he's like, he's out on the bike. And they're like, well, we want to ride with him.
Oh, really?
And
the do they watch day, the show? They watch the show?
No, but okay, now they do. Yeah, now they do. And it's funny, I'm a huge fan of The Wire.
Yes,
as is our mutual friend, Jed.
Yes.
And
shout out to Jed, by the way.
Yes, all props
State
to Jed
relations.
Wallace. Exactly. and they ended up coming out.
And they rode with you.
Yeah, the next morning they came out to ride with us. Although they only rode with us, you know, half an hour.
Yeah.
Not the whole 100-mile day we had planned.
Yeah.
But
we have to work or something.
Yeah.
Man, I love it so much. And I love, more importantly than you just doing this. And it's like, it's not about Darren and like, look at me and what I can do. You had to really humble yourself. And you really had a mission behind it. And you were willing. I know you well enough to know you would have crawled or had him push you in a shopping cart if that's what it took to get to the other end, because your why behind what you're doing is so incredible. And and I've never heard that. You got two dogs. Yeah, one of courage and one of fear, and you're feeding them.
That gets stronger is the one that you feed
by your decisions, but then I also think by your thinking. What you're, like you talked about your self story, you know. My mom, she used to say this thing. Oh, what do we got going on out here? We got a little adventure.
Yes.
You never know what's going to happen.
That's
in the neighborhood.
All right. That's okay.
But my mom always used to say, with every decision that you're making, you're deciding who you're going to be. You're deciding the person that you are, whether there's people watching, whether the lights are off and you're in the dark.
Yep.
With each decision, you're deciding who you're going to be. And I feel like it meshes very well with the dogs of courage.
Oh, I think
and,
so.
And you're someone who had such a strong negative self-story of like, I'm not good enough, I'm not loved enough, all the other things that we didn't really go into with your family and that stuff we'll do another time. But to be like, you know what, I don't care. And that's actually something that Baron Davis, name drop, Baron Davis said yesterday. His big takeaway was, you know, you don't, it didn't seem like he had the strongest home life with his family. And he said, you don't need a brother, you don't need a sister, you don't need mom, dad, you know, coaches. What you need is yourself and your belief in yourself. And I feel like we're all kind of saying the same thing in a different way,
from
our own experience, you know?
And I'd like to amplify on that, just because I think so often we don't have role models that show us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're just relying on ourselves, it's almost like a lake where there's no inflow and outflow of fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a fetid swamp after a while.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're taking in new information and you're also sharing that information, you've got that fresh running stream.
Yeah,
and so sometimes you need to have that modeled for you. And just as you were sharing that, it just made me think about integrity, being doing the right things even when no one's watching.
Yeah, yeah. Character.
And
character
there's and something there's really, really something to that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is this. It's funny. I think it comes down to three areas that human beings operate: thinking, decisions, and actions.
Yeah.
And ultimately everything we do can be grouped into one of those three categories. The stuff we're putting in our head, the thoughts that we think, and I think we need to be very careful about curating the right thoughts.
Yeah.
Like the people that are listening to us are curating positive thoughts that are going to move them in the right direction, as opposed to other kinds of thoughts that we can curate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, the decisions that we make, and that's like choosing to feed the right dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because we're always at these places of decision. And then the third piece is action.
Yeah.
And I think as much as you might want to think the right thoughts or make the better decisions, that at the end of the day, action's where the rubber meets the road.
Yes. Yes.
And I bet Baron would even agree with me on this, that unhealthy people want the world to judge them based on their intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy people get that the world judges them based on their actions.
Yes, yes.
And the win here, once you wrap your head around that concept, is you can act like a gentleman, and even if your thoughts are lecherous and depraved, the world won't know the difference.
Yeah.
Act like a gentleman anyway.
Yeah.
And it becomes a sequencing thing. Because a lot of people, and it's funny, like we'll bring it back to the workout thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they hear about my workouts, we were talking about, and they say, hey, I want to come join you in your workout.
Yeah.
And I'll say, great, show up Thursday night at 9 o'clock at this spot or whatever it is. You're going to like, oh, no,
not be able to walk for a week afterwards.
I need to start training first, or they'll start telling me the story about why they can't do that.
Yeah.
I'll say, wait a second, you have it all wrong.
Yeah.
The game is you take the action of working out regardless of what you think or feel about it.
Yeah.
And then after you work out enough, your thoughts and feelings will shift and change to where you'll see the results, and you'll think differently about working out.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, oh, it's a chore, you'll think, oh, I can't wait to do this because it's changing my body and you love it.
Yes.
What most people do is they wait, they say, gee, I want the results of working out, but I'll wait until I think differently and feel energetic, and then I'll go work out.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If you wait, if you, that's your attitude, you're going to wait forever.
Yeah, yeah.
The game is do it anyway, regardless of what you think about it, and then your thoughts and feelings will line up behind it.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, the taking action is the hugest thing, because so many people have, especially out here in LA, you know, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that, and we know this person, we can do that. It's like, none of that means anything. Let's take some action. And that's where, how you see if people are really legit, you know, and like you said, they have their own story. I love that we keep coming back to story of like, well, here's why I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like I have this injury, or I don't have time, or I'm not getting enough sleep. And so it's people always have these great intentions and these great plans, but they it's not the right time of year. I don't have enough money. It's like,
but
you got to figure it out. You got to jump off that boat.
People
and burn
either
it.
Old, too old or too young. They're never the right age. They're too thin or too fat. They're never the right thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you are perfect just the way you are. And guess what?
Yeah.
You're all you got.
Yeah.
And life's happening right now. This was, another big takeaway.
Yeah, yeah.
You talk about making another plans
one.
And God left. Yeah, here's a bonus takeaway. Is that, and now I lost my bonus takeaway. Wait, take me back. We were just talking about
your story. Telling your story, taking action.
Whoa, this is going to kill me.
Uh-oh. We got to get you on Alpha Brain.
Oh.
Have you taken any of that?
No, but you can. But now I'm looking for a new sponsor for my next adventure.
There you go.
No, big takeaway. Oh, being in the moment.
Yes.
So what happened? So the story, or what happened 5 minutes ago is as relevant to my life as is the Civil War.
Yeah.
Or the guys that built the pyramids in Egypt.
Yeah.
5 minutes ago is gone.
Yeah.
30 seconds ago is gone. There's nothing you and I can do to go back and undo our conversation that we had 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Just like there's nothing that we can do right now that's going to impact 5 minutes in the future. We can try. We can think
but the reality is
life's going to happen and the way life's going to happen. I intend to live another 50 years.
Yeah.
30 seconds from now, this might end with, oh my God, it was so weird. I was talking to Darren and now he's on the floor.
Getting dark again. Yeah. It's getting real dark. But, I'm getting real nervous here.
But the truth is that life is always experienced in the now.
Okay.
In the present moment.
Yes.
That's the only way life can be experienced, is in the present moment. And never do you get more dialed into that than when you're out doing some 8-hour block of exercise.
Yeah.
And if you think about what happened an hour ago or what you're hoping is going to happen an hour from now, you will drive yourself insane. And the only place to be is in the moment. Because guess what? In the moment, you're always okay.
Yeah.
You're alive. You're okay.
Yeah.
And it's and the more we can be mindful of that, be reminded of that, and the more that there are our message carriers and torch bearers like you, Jesse, are out spreading that word around, I think those are the nuggets that actually will change people's lives.
Yeah. I love it, man. That's something that I struggle with and am working on so much, because I'm always, you know, like you, like, what's the next thing we're going to achieve? Who's the next? Let's get Darren on the podcast. Mm. Let's get this pro athlete. Let's get this. So that we're like, let's get the TV show going. And so it's like, you're always working. And it's like, I realize if I don't embrace the moment, I'm never going to be satisfied, no matter what level of success that you reach. Because I was running on the beach the other day, and it was a long day. We had really cool stuff going on. And I stopped, and I turned off the music, and I just stopped, and I looked out down in Venice. And I was just like, breathe.
Yeah.
Just Jesse, just take a minute and breathe and be thankful. And you know, I always feel like I'm not where I want to be in it. Even though awesome, amazing things I could never imagine. Well, sitting down with you, or it's so incredible.
Listen,
you know?
We're all members of the Lucky Sperm Club. The fact of the matter is, and again, not meaning to go dark, but there's people on this that are on this planet. Their big problem is, how am I going to get some clean drinking water
so I
live through the day?
Yeah. Like, the fact that I can be standing on the beach, the sun's out, it's going down, it's beautiful. Yep. I had a car to get me down there. Like, life is pretty good, you know, and I appreciate that. And it's so fun, because the big thing that that I really preach, I don't want to say preach, but I really believe and I speak on when I go places, and it's all over the bus, is attitude is everything. And what's so cool talking to you is, like, a lot of things that you're saying, like, I can't change anything I did 5 minutes ago, but we keep telling ourselves these things that we've messed up on. And so we have two choices, and it's something that I heart pretty hard. It's like, gosh, I've messed up. And you know my story, an undersized guy. It could have been a lot of excuses I could have used, but I decided, you know what? I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to let the world hand me this, and then I'm just the victim. I am going to take this, and I'm going to have the best attitude. I'm going to figure out how to make my dreams happen.
Yep.
And it's just such a powerful thing. And how you overcame, you know, we haven't even scratched the surface, and we'll do it another time, of all the things that you endured as just a human being living life, and things that were unfair, and things that, you know, you didn't set up for yourself.
Stuff happens over 50 years of...
But you changed your story, and you changed where you wanted to take it, and you didn't let that stop you, and that's what I love.
Well, thank you for that, and I appreciate the kind words, and what a great takeaway for your audience, that people are never going to achieve more than they aspire to in their own mind. And that therefore, attitude truly is everything. Because if my attitude is, I'm only going to get so far, then I've put the ceiling on myself. And there's no chance that I'm going to go any farther. My daughter goes to a leadership conference every summer. Matter of fact, I got to connect you with these people.
Yeah, I want to go speak at it. Bill Dorfman, what are we doing here?
I don't even know.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
It's part of the LEAP Foundation.
Okay.
And Dr. Bill Dorfman.
Jennifer, take a note. LEAP Foundation, we need to speak there.
You have to be aligned. Some of the greatest entrepreneurs and people around the world.
Wow.
But they spend an entire week immersed in that. And they have a saying there that every morning, you wake up, and whether you think about it or not, you put a number on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And let's use a 1 to 10 scale, 1 being lowest, 10 being highest. You put a number on yourself. And they'll ask them at this conference, they'll say, raise your hand if when you put a number, I'm going to cry even talking about it. Raise your hand if you put a number on yourself that's less than a 10. And the number of hands that go up, it's astounding. And then you stop and you think about it, and you're like, well, who put that number on you? You know, you did it.
Yeah.
It's like, in so many respects, we are our own worst enemy, and we are our only salvation.
Yeah.
And the only way out is through. But it's only by sharing a nugget like that. See, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I talk to my daughter about this all the time now. She has on the back of her smartphone a little button that has 10 on it. It just has the number 10.
To remind her,
I'm going to put a 10 on. And so we'll text each other now. It's like, what number did you put on this morning? And I'll think about that when I'm going out. Like, I'm still a learning organism at 50. And I hope I will be until the moment I drop.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great distinction for me. Sometimes I'll put a number on myself that's less than 10. And for no good reason.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's my number. I can put any damn number
You're
I
a 10,
want.
Man. You're a 10. I don't care what anyone
I'm
says.
A sweaty You're a 10.
Man, no, that's really cool. I've never heard that.
That was just my eyeball sweating.
Yeah.
I wasn't crying.
It's
that'd be not masculine.
It's 127 degrees in here. I want to tell one one pick your brain on one last thing.
Yeah.
Because literally we could do this
all day long.
All day, and we will do it again. We will get the AC
Can't
correct.
Wait.
We'll wait the time of year. We'll get ventilation. But one thing. So you've for the people that are watching, you've achieved some really cool things. You have a show that you host called
Deadly Sins.
Is it the 7 Deadly Sins?
No, it's just Deadly Sins.
On Discovery ID. I should know this.
Investigation Discovery or Discovery ID. Yes.
And then there's another show. What was the other show?
Well, I did a couple of other ones
for ID.
I did a show called Did He Do It?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, the answer is probably
he usually
yes.
did it.
Although one of the cases we talked about was the Stephen Avery case, which okay. became Making of a Murderer, that yes. Netflix, you know, that went...
Wait, that's the one that turned into the whole thing. Yes, that's right.
So that was one of the cases there. And then I did an unscripted show called Breaking Point, where I was doing interventions on criminals.
Oh, yes.
To try and get people resources before they before the system got to them.
And that was where you would like show up at their house with their and you'd be like, the cops are outside.
Yeah,
you can either come with me and we'll help you and keep you out of jail, or you go outside and get arrested.
Right.
And some of them would go outside and get arrested, right?
It was... I will say this. My track record of helping people make wise choices remains unassailable.
Okay.
So no one got into handcuffs because of me.
Okay.
We're in the handcuff removal.
Okay,
business.
You're not a snitch. She's not a snitch.
Yes, we're not ratting anybody out. But you know, on a personal level, there was nothing that I've done in the world of entertainment and television that felt so... just uplifting, you know, on a personal level, like, wow, I really did something valuable today to help another human being.
Yes.
And I don't know, just on a grand scale, when I think about the days of my life that are the best days or the best moments, they're usually around being a contribution rather than, you know, it's what am I giving rather than what am I getting. At our office Christmas party, and I say this not to be self-congratulatory, but to illustrate.
But do it.
But we do, so instead of, you know, years ago, we used to do the usual, let's all get together and have a big whoopee party.
Yeah.
And instead, we decided to do something more meaningful. And our office holiday party is we go to a drug and alcohol rehab center that caters only to women who are either pregnant or who... are trying to get clean and they have small children. Because if you are in that category and you go to most rehab centers, they'll say, sorry, we just can't help you. But this place is uniquely situated where they have daycare centers set up.
Wow.
And I have a friend that owns a baby furniture manufacturing company. I got him to donate 17
cribs. What's the
name
of the place? Where they let the mothers with the...
Via Avanta.
Okay.
I'll
want to put that out there. That's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's an amazing thing. So for our holiday party, we go there, we serve them a lunch, a catered lunch. We bring them gifts. Prepaid phone card so they can call their relatives because it's the holidays, just to say I love you, and bath gels and things so they can feel just a little bit more feminine. And it's like, so it's the best thing we do all year.
Yeah.
You know, and inspirational stories and, you know, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
And I always leave that event feeling like, oh my God, I want to feel like this every day of my life.
So much better than a Christmas party where everyone's going, having some drinks, you know, dancing on the dance floor. Like, so what are we doing here? Let's do something.
So there's another bonus nugget, you know, go help somebody else and make your own day.
Yeah. So outside of all these shows, you also have your own law firm.
Yeah.
Is that what I call it? Yeah. It's a law firm,
it's
right?
A law firm.
That you're, and I see the ads all the time on TV.
Yeah.
It's 1-800.
1-800
no cuffs. Yes,
right?
Yes.
Because no one looks good in handcuffs.
No one looks good. Yeah.
Unless you're into that sort of thing.
I know. I hit you there. I'm like, man, if I see this one more time, I'm going to come handcuff you.
And
not in a weird way. So here's the story that I heard about you before I met you.
Yeah.
And I want to go into that. And then we got to get you the heck out of here because we're going to need new outfits.
Yeah.
Our friend Jed told me, you got to meet this guy. First, he said, he has the best one-liners. I'm going to send you his one-liner reel of you because you are always going on the Dr. Drew shows all the late-night news. And you come in and be the expert on what's legally...
But I never took myself too seriously.
But yes, you always had fun. And you would say these things that most people... It would be a huge controversy. People would be writing over Twitter. Right. But you say it with a smile on your face and it makes sense. Like, you're totally logical. And it was so fun. But then he's like, Darren hustles... and works hard. He will go and do any interview. He'll get himself out there. He'll meet the right people, and he'll do an amazing job that they have to bring him back. He's like, one example, and you know the story better than me, so tell me if I get it wrong, but like, you came to do one of these late news segments, and you brought three different outfits. You're like, here, I'll just do it. You can do me in different things, talking about different stuff, so then you can use it for each of the different days, making it so much easier.
That's how my TV career got started.
Yes.
Okay. Because Mel Gibson got arrested for drunk driving anti-Semitic rantings and so forth. And
all the fun stuff.
All that misbehavior, celebrity misbehavior.
Yeah.
And Entertainment Tonight needed somebody to come on and do the legal analysis on
it. Yes.
And the lawyer who had been doing their legal analysis was a divorce divorce lawyer, didn't know anything about this area, and frankly was honest enough and humble enough to say, you know what, this is my area, but call this guy Darren.
Yeah.
So they called me up, and as you say, I showed up. They had no idea who I was.
Just,
they thought I'd look good on TV.
Yeah.
Based on his recommendation. So I show up with three different suits and different glasses and ties. Because it was a big hassle. Where are we going to do this? And the crew and organizing everything. And it was clear to me that it was expensive and logistically challenging. Hmm. So that's why I brought down all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I said to them, they're like, well, why do you have so many clothes with you, stranger? And I said, well, look, you know, this Mel Gibson thing is going to be around for more than today. Let's shoot some different sound bites with me in different outfits. That way you don't have to have me come back and we don't have to deal with this expensive crew thing. And it was like, heads exploded. And I ended up becoming a field correspondent for the Insider based on all that.
Amazing.
And so I think here's your bonus nugget for
so
your
many viewers. Bonuses today.
It's like, it goes back to being a yes. And if you just show up and do the best you can, and not just being a yes, and not just like, oh, I'll do it, but how can I maximize every opportunity?
Yeah.
So like the average response to, can I go on Entertainment Tonight? Sure, I'll show up on Entertainment Tonight. But in that moment, and I think it was, you know, an act of providence, it's not an act of brilliance, but somehow I was inspired to grab a bunch of clothes, and I don't know where that thought came from, but I maximized that opportunity. And it set me down this whole other career path.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be hosting Deadly Sins today if I hadn't shown up that day with my wardrobe.
Yeah.
Just
way
like
to serve other people.
And that's
how can I make this easier for you?
That's all it's about. How can I make this a win for you? Because I'll get taken care of.
Yeah. Well, I want to end this by saying this. I respect you, and you've been a mentor to me in person and from afar. I'm always watching what you're doing, and you have this successful law firm, which by any means, most people would be content with that, but you aren't, and you feel a bigger calling, and you have this drive to run across the country at 50 and do these TV shows that help people that are struggling with all these different drug issues and criminal background and just craziness. And you do it and you show up in a way to serve and help other people. And I just love you, man. And I respect the heck out of you. And I appreciate you
coming and hanging out, man. It means the world. And it just reminds me, everybody goes through life being one of two things. You're either an example of what's possible or you're a warning of, you know, what's possible.
Yeah.
And in my life, I've been both.
And
fortunate that I actually got to make it from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And so if anything, I feel like I have an obligation to share that experience with other people.
Yeah.
To make, if I can help one person smooth out their own learning curve, then I'm doing my job.
Yeah. And I love you also keynote speak, which I want to put out there because I haven't seen it in person yet. You're gonna have to let me know because I want to come up. But I love how you talk, and you're gonna have to tell me the quote. Bad choices can be, you know where I'm going with that.
It's an Oscar Wilde quote.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was a Darren quote.
No, no.
I was like, that is good. This guy is good.
No, yeah, it's Oscar Wilde.
Yeah,
really good.
Every sin
has a past and every sinner has a future.
Yes.
And I love that. I saw a girl wearing a t-shirt that said that just when we got greenlit to do Deadly Sins. I'm like, I got to get those shirts.
Yes.
And it's so funny. Yes.
These stories can be great at your next barbecue of these experiences that you had.
Yes.
Last question. You are going back to the 10-year-old Darren.
Yeah.
Little chubby guy.
Yep.
He's running around, figuring out life, depressed, telling himself negative things. What advice would you give that kid today, knowing what you know, going through what you've gone through?
It's so funny. So besides this running across the country, run, ride, adventure, journey
roll.
Across the country, this self-propelled craziness.
Yeah.
I had the experience of being that 10-year-old chubby kid and coming in last place in this 800-yard run.
Yeah.
And
in front of the school.
This was track meet.
It was embarrassing.
Horrible. Yeah. And my mom, when I, you know, came home crying, and she took me to Bob's Big Boy for a double cheeseburger and hot fudge cake, which I think is putting out fire with gasoline. But she was doing the best she could with what she knew how. And I really think most people do. They do the best they can with what they have and at the time they do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I went through life thinking about that experience, and I would do these Ironman triathlons and a bunch of marathons. Never fast, by the way, but just tenaciously.
Yeah, yeah.
But every time I would put my toe on the starting line, I would think to myself, I'm going to outrun that fat kid. Mm. I'm going to leave the fat kid a little bit further away in my rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And I was sharing that story with somebody else, a wonderful speaker named Terry Hawkins, just a brilliant woman. And she said, why would you do that? I was just a kid. You don't want to run away from that kid. Try this. Try putting your arm around that kid and running next to him and letting him know it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I think that is it. I think we spend so much time trying to outrun ourselves or chase down something, and really, we need to remind ourselves that it's going to be okay. Because even though I'm 50, it seems weird to say because I'm as mature as a 16-year-old.
You don't have, you don't have the energy of a 50-year-old.
But I fundamentally don't feel any different inside than that 10-year-old kid. Hopefully a little wiser.
Yeah.
And if I can share that with anybody else, then that's the best legacy I can hope for. Because at the end of the day, I'm just another dead jackrabbit, too.
Yeah. I love it. You're amazing. Could that have ended any better?